our Bibles for the New Year's message this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And let me read just a few verses to you. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked Simon to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And the church says, good morning, everyone, again, those that are tuning in live around the world, especially our family that are there still sheltering in place and so forth. I welcome you on this first Sunday of 21, and thank God that we indeed are leaving behind one of the most difficult, saddest, hardest years that we have ever faced. Amen? And you know what's sad about this pandemic and the things that have occurred is that some believers in 2020, well, it was stolen from them. And what I mean by being stolen is that there are many Christians who are coronavirus casualties. In other words, they love the Lord. They love the Lord, but the problem is that this pandemic has so separated them from the church and from one another that they want to follow the Lord, but the truth of the matter is they're following the Lord from a great distance. And the Lord is way down the narrow road, and they have just kind of stumbled into a routine that doesn't take them in the right direction. We want that change this morning, don't we? Amen? And then there are other believers. Oh, praise God. You proved your worth by your faith, and you stood strong. You've been tested this year. We've all been tested. And now, through this trial you're coming forth, you shine just like gold. I pray in Jesus' name that all of us right now, we wake up and we say to this church, you know, we say this, we're going to return in 2021 more healthy, more stronger, more vigilant than we have ever been in the history of this church. Amen? And that's what's needed. And I am so thankful. I am thankful that jingle bells and Christmas and all the rest of that and New Year's and the ball that drops in an empty place in New York, whatever it was, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's behind me. Because here's the deal, that's not reality. We must face the reality that we're in right now. Does that make sense? Praise God that we celebrated Christmas and thank God for the New Year's. But listen, 2021, listen, holds many more trials. Do you understand? We're coming out of the storm and it's going to be a rough ride. You know, listen, if you've ever been on a jet and you're flying and you enter into a storm, they always want to fly around it. You know, thank God they do, you know, because I'm not fond of flying. I'm not fond of flying, especially when I can look out the window and the wings are going like this and there's clouds and there's lightning and we're going side to side and the nurses, no. The stewardesses, their eyes are that big, and I always watch them because I'm going, oh, my gosh, the bigger they get, they go, oh, you know, I start repenting of sins I've never committed. But you know when you're flying in the storm, you're starting to go through it. It's rough, it's bumpy, and then all of a sudden, it's like, well, oh, we're out of it. We're in the center of the storm, but we don't know that. It's calm. And then about 20 minutes later, you've ordered your food, you know. Of course, they don't order food anymore because they don't have any food on those planes. But there you are, and you're ready to eat. Back then, I'm not talking about now, and you're getting ready to eat, and now you're getting ready to go out of the storm. And it starts all over again. That's where we are. We're on our way out of this storm right now, and it's going to be a rough ride. Don't let down your guard. Amen. You stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what we need to do. And not only that, our nation and the world that we're living in, they are now sailing on uncharted waters, man. They don't know what they're doing. It's crazy to see the things that are happening. That's why we trust in the Lord, who never changes. Amen. I don't know if you caught Ann Graham Lott's prayer for the new year. Let me just read a portion to it to you. Ann Graham Lott's prayed this. You know, at times the future seems to be shrouded in darkness. There seems to be a great uncertainty regarding where we as a nation, as a human race, are headed. We can point to many reasons for concern: a worldwide pandemic, artificial intelligence, nations in conflict, increasingly frequent record-breaking natural disasters, horrifying racism, anti-Semitism, violence in our streets, and the list goes on and on, she says. And here's what I say, what I always say. You know what? The world is not falling apart. The world is falling into place. Amen? We don't have to be afraid of wars or rumors of wars. Our heart does not have to ever be troubled. We believe in God. Amen? We trust in Jesus Christ, who is right here with us this very moment, and we're His body. And He's made a promise that He would never leave us, never forsake us, and never relax His hold upon us. And here we are on the new year. And He's not going to relax His hold on Calvary Chapel in 2021 unless it's time for us to be raptured and taken home. Amen? Oh, would that be awesome? Woo, I wonder if there'd be anybody left at the White House. It's a joke. It's just a joke. My only political joke. Are you in Luke's gospel? Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. I'm going to go through this, and then we're going to set up what I want to talk about the new year. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about Jesus. They pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, you know, the Lake of Gennesaret is also called the Sea of Galilee, or the Tiberias Sea, and so forth. It's 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It's a beautiful, beautiful location. It's the largest fresh body of water in all of Israel. And not only that, it's 700 feet below sea level, which makes it the absolute world's lowest freshwater lake. Lake Gennesaret is a place of miracles. In a moment, we'll see the catch of fish. That is a miracle, okay? This is where Jesus calmed the storm over in Luke chapter 8, when He spoke to the wind and the sea just became calm. This is where Peter walked on water until he took his eyes off of Jesus Christ and looked at the waves and so forth. So it's a place of miracles. And it says in verse 2, and Jesus saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them. Isn't that kind of a sad picture? You know, you have boats, but no one there and no fishermen. And the reason, look what they were doing. He says they had gone from there and were washing their nets. And then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And He sat down, and He did something. He taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, that is the multitudes in chapter 4. Also, those and people from the Galilee, if you read all of chapter 4, okay? And you would find that Jesus healed all of the diseases, man. He had cast out demons. And they said, no one has ever spoken like this. No, we've not ever heard anyone that has this kind of authority. And so because of that, they did something. They started pressing upon Jesus. They wanted Him. They wanted to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be incredible if there was not any room in this chapel? And I remember days when it was lined up against the wall. Remember those days? They just come to hear the word of God. And that's how it was then. And Jesus, what did He do? He got into Simon's boat. And the reason that He did that, He could not teach effectively because they were pressing all over Him, and He wanted everyone to hear the word of God. So He got into the boat, Simon pushed out the shore a little bit, and it's been said, if you study biblical archaeology and geography and so forth, that that specific area has a remarkable acoustical quality, that you can just talk, and the area, which is really so lovely, that every person can hear. Now listen to me. Jesus wants every person, you at home, you that are in other states, every person in this chapel, he wants all of us to hear. He desperately wants us to hear the word of God. Amen? So he makes sure of that. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So he says, Peter, launch out. And then the multitudes who were pressing upon him to hear God's word. Think about that. Oh, you know, I can only imagine what it must be like to have heard the teaching of our Lord. If you read chapter 4, it talks about in chapter 4 that no one ever spake like him, and that they were running unto the Lord. You know, there's a story about David Garrick in the 1700s, and he was like in the theater and all of that, and he was one of the most famous Shakespearean actors of his day. And he happened to be on a street corner walking away from the theater, and guess who was preaching on a street corner in the 1700s? This would be in America, his name was George Whitefield, part of the Great Awakening. Remember that? And here's what David Garrick said about the voice of George Whitefield. It said, George Whitefield, he was preaching on a street corner. Here it comes. David Garrick says, oh, he reached up those mighty arms. His voice seemed almost like a thunderstorm as he had one final word. Oh, that's all he said. Just one word. Oh. When George Whitefield said, oh, men bowed before the Holy Spirit like corn bows before the wind, and I would give my handful of golden sovereigns if I could say, oh, like George Whitefield. Listen, whenever Jesus opened his mouth, whenever he was teaching them, he spake like no other man. Amen? They were astonished at what he said, the authority that he exhibited, and they pressed upon him to hear God's word. And I'm going to tell you something, in 2021, it's no different than 2020. We better press in to hear the word of the living God. Amen? Oh, how we need God's word to guide us and so forth. But more than that, we have to do something this year. We have to disconnect from the shoreline, just like Peter did. We have to launch out. We have to disconnect from the shoreline. And the main reason is that we need to reconnect with one another. I don't know if you know this or not, but see, the church is in a pandemic of its own. What I mean by that is that it's so easy for live stream and not meeting together, not connecting, sitting at home. I'm not condemning any of you at home right now. I love you. Some of you are not healthy. I want you to be home. Some of you are fearful. I understand. But the fact of the matter is, some of you are now, it's convenience. The majority is convenience. Does that make sense? Oh, man. And so I don't have to serve. I'm comfortable and so forth. Listen, there's only one vaccine for the pandemic among a Christian, and that is obedience to Jesus Christ. That is the only vaccine. Listen, it's time, 2021, it's time to rebuild our fellowship. It's time to restore all of our ministries. It's time for those believers, and I hope it's not you, it's time for all believers to make a clean break with the world if they become spotted by the world, or maybe a little attached to the world. You need to turn your back on this filthy, vile, sick world that is going to hell, that's going to burn. Amen? We need to turn our back upon it because we've overcome this world system because we are in Christ Jesus. Listen, the world cannot protect us. The world cannot guide us. The world has a lot of knowledge, but the world doesn't have a lot of wisdom. Do you understand? We have the wisdom of God. You know what the wisdom of God is? It's God's knowledge applied. You do that, you have wisdom. And this world that we're living in right now is unstable as water. There's nothing to hold on to. There's all kinds of confusion. There's nothing to support us. Well, you know, we're going to send out stimulus checks. Praise the Lord. Okay, send them out. But you're not my source. No, do you believe that? Amen. What did Jesus tell us? He said, oh, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear. That's what the Gentiles are, meaning the lost people. That's what they do. They worry about everything. He said, your heavenly Father knows what you need. And then in Matthew 6:33, what does he tell us? Don't worry about any of those things. Don't let life tear you apart. He says, but you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, meaning all things that you need in life, will be added unto you. Listen, God, our provision is not on earth. Our provision is in heaven. And then he manifested upon this earth. Amen? Oh, listen. Trust the Lord with all of our heart. The Apostle John, he told us over in 1 John 2:15, he says, do not love the world. Do not love the things of the world. For this kind of love, he said, this is not of the Father. You know what I mean? That love, that kind of love is not of the Father at all. It's not in him. For all that is in the world, he goes on, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of this world. And the world is passing away. It's temporary. The world is passing away and the lust therein, but he or she who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. Why would we trust a world that is monitoring us? Come on. Yeah. Are you on Facebook? Hello. You know, listen, the world, they know where you're at right now. If you have your cell phone, they know where you parked your car. They know what you like to eat. They know what you wear, what you don't like to wear. They know your favorite restaurant. They know the movies that you watch. They know more about you than you know about you. They know how many steps you've taken because it's on your little phone that I don't have with me. Thank God I don't bring anything that's defiled into the pulpit. You understand? No, the world, it's a sick place, man. Listen, we are citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of this world. He goes on, and Jesus said in verse 4, and when Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, now he's going to issue a command. Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. Why, in the midst of the day, when fishing in the Galilee is always done at night in that area of Israel, you know, he says, he commands Peter to launch out into the deep. Why did he do that? The reason is because Peter's mindset was wrong. It was totally wrong. See, listen, do you think that Peter believed that they were going to catch anything? No. Peter didn't even believe he was going to catch a minnow. Do you understand? I mean, it wasn't out there. See, his mindset was not deep, okay? And we can't have a mindset like Peter. We need the deep things of God, not shallow things, but deep things. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is written, Paul writes, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. Past tense, a past fact, a present reality, loved one. He has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, meaning the Holy Spirit. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And what's the reason? That we might know the things that God has freely given unto us. We will never experience the deep things of God if we're going to stay on the shoreline. Amen? It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all. Listen, the depth to which this church, each of us, we launch out will depend on this. How much of the shoreline are you going to let go of? Am I going to let go of this church? Listen, we need the deep things of God. Because this nation is in deep trouble. This world is in deep trouble. Amen? And then he says, when he stopped speaking, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. Let's look what Simon said. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. If you look up that definition of nothing, you know what it means? Nothing. He says, listen, he goes, Lord, listen, you know, our nets, we've washed our nets. We're through for the day. You know, we fished all night. We're tired. We're worn out. I am an expert fisherman. Cabela's. I do advertising for Cabela's. They know who I am. But look at my boat. It's a Chris Craft. And look at my name on the side. I mean, Lord, you're a carpenter. You're just a carpenter, man. I am an expert professional. Now, what did Peter just do? Let us not be guilty of this. Peter based everything on his understanding of fishing, everything on his experience that he, all those years of toil, labor, fishing, he knows, well, this looks like a good spot. The weather's right. The sun is in the right, or that it's night. The moon is out. Maybe you understand all the tricks of the trade. I'm not a fisherman, except I fish for men and women. Okay? So with all that being said, you know, we can't have that kind of vision in 2021. We can't have a shallow vision for the deep, you know, or limit the deep. Man, we need all of it, and that's what has to happen. So he says, we've toiled all night. I don't know about you, but 2020 to me seemed like one long, exhausting night. And the only thing I caught in 2020 was COVID, and I survived, praise God. You know what I'm saying? And so we look back and go, even though I know that God was working, and he's always working. We may not, like the song a minute ago, he is working, but sometimes we don't see how he's working. Does that make sense? And I kind of felt like Peter there. And the reason is because we have been in a holding pattern since March 13th. And now it's time to get out of that holding pattern. We cannot be like Peter and let experience rule. Does that make sense? We can't do it. Yes, we are in the midst of a pandemic. We're in the midst of a new surge that's coming because people did not do what they should have done during the Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year's. You know, I don't know if you caught this in the paper, but, you know, I haven't been to the mall in, maybe 2 years. I don't go to the mall, but I think it was Dillard's. I need shirts. Does that make sense? That's why I'm wearing a sweater. My shirt's rags. I'm joking. I do. I need shirts. So Dillard's was offering a 50% or 50, 150%, whatever it was. It's just come and get it. They're nearly free. That kind of thing. So what did I do? I have not been shopping. I have not been one restaurant. You know what I'm saying. I don't go out, and I'm very cautious. You know, even though now I had it and I have some probably immunity. But I pulled up the Dillard's. There must have been 10,000 people. I just looked in the window, the big doors, and what I saw, I said, honest God, I said, you're in sin. You are sinning. Because, I mean, people were coughing and they were touching and they were, I mean, it was, I don't know why I went on to that. Except to say, it's a mess out there, but I'm not going to be afraid of that mess. Do you understand? And we can't be afraid of it at all. Listen, you know what we have? That's experience. Yes, COVID is wicked. I hate it. The suffering. But we're going to have to make a break because Jesus or Paul or Peter, whoever it is here in our text in verse 5, look what Peter did. Peter's experience ruled his heart and his mind, but he did something. He said that word, nevertheless. Now listen, you know what that word means? That means without any belief in the command of Jesus. He didn't believe it, but he obeyed it. He says, nevertheless, Jesus, okay, at your word, even though it doesn't make one bit of sense to me, I am skilled, I'm an expert, I will let down the net. Let me say something. 2021, nevertheless, at thy word, that better be and should be a consuming fact in your heart and in your mind. You should live and hear God's word and obey God's word as if your life depended upon it, because it does. Amen. Oh, how we, listen, we need that. See, God's word has to be supreme. Not our emotions, and we all have them. There's good emotions and not good emotions. We experience. Okay, okay, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by emotion. Now, he said, and then when they had done this, when they obeyed the words of Jesus, look what happened. They caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. Again, that's not an example of Jesus being a great fisherman. He probably was a great fisherman, but it shows that he's the Lord over all creation, that he has all authority, heaven and earth. Amen? So they signaled to their partners. Everyone say partners. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came. They filled the boats, and look what happened. The result, they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were there were astonished at the catch of fish. And when they had taken, of which they had taken, and so also with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. You know, what I found, I identify greatly with this last, that scripture. Depart from me, O Lord. You know, I know that we are complete in Christ. I know that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. I know that I am no longer an Adam, I am in Christ. But can I tell you, there never has come a point in my life to when I say, I'm okay. I'm a pretty good old boy. Because the fact is, I know I'm not a pretty good old boy. Do you understand me? Peter said, "Oh God, oh Jesus, get away from me. You don't know my faults. You don't know my excesses. You don't know my failures. I am a sinner. I am a great sinner." I tell you, the closer that you get to the Lord, no matter how young or how old that you become, it helps you to, when you, the closer you get, you see the true condition of your heart and your walk. Amen. Oh, listen, to be like our Lord. See, this old crummy flesh that we live in every day wants to take the throne of your heart. It wants to rule. Amen. It wants to push Jesus off of your heart. Don't let that happen, loved one. Listen, so with the light of all of that, how did Jesus respond to Peter? Look at it. And Jesus said to Simon, "Oh, do not be afraid. From now on, Peter, you will catch men." What a great word. I know who you are. Oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at all. Isn't that a great word for 2021? He says, from now on, you're going to catch men. Literally, in the Greek, it would be catch men alive. And he says, from now on, meaning it's going to be a break with the past, Peter. You're not going back in the fishing business. You might as well just get your rods and reels and your nets and pull the name off the boat. It's going to be over with. You're going to be a fisher of men. You're going to catch men alive. And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all. And what happened? They followed Jesus. And they changed their world. Amen? The key, this is not prophecy. It's not like a science, rocket science. The key, loved one, to 2021 is the same in 2020. Follow Jesus. Amen? That is our answer. And here's the thing. Those that are listening live that belong to the Calvary Chapel family, are you ready? And are you willing to follow Jesus in 2021? Are you healthy? And if you're healthy and able, are you willing to come out of seclusion, out of your homes, and get back into fellowship? See, the church is in a pandemic. You know, the thing is that really, in some ways, 2021 is more dangerous than 2020. Because, see, we've had an extended period of time for complacency to come in. Does that make sense? For lethargy to come in and so forth, where, well, you know, I can live stream anytime I want to, and maybe your prayer time is now suffering, and maybe your Bible study, because you're out of fellowship, meaning out of connecting here. Oh, you hear us online. But listen, we need to come back. We need to come back. And the only vaccine for the Christian's pandemic, loved one, is this, and that's Luke 9:23. Jesus said it this way, "If anyone desires to come after me," if you want to follow with me, if you want to travel with me, here are the conditions. He says, "Let him deny himself." Deny himself. What a word. That's not the word the world uses, is it? deny himself. In other words, you know what? It's no longer about you. It's no longer about your plans. It's about my plans. You have to deny yourself, separate yourself, and so forth. It's about me now, Jesus said. He says, deny yourself, and then the command, take up your cross, his cross. Take it up daily, not monthly or yearly. Take it up daily, and then those words, follow me. That means don't miss the adventure. That means don't miss God's plan for your life. You know, Jesus is the victory, is the pathway, the narrow road, the pathway to all victory. Amen? That's always our answer, is to be on the narrow road and always following our Lord. The church, Calvary Chapel, we cannot put on hold following the Lord because of a pandemic. We're a blessed people. Listen, we have, you know, I don't know if I've already said so, forgive me if I have. This has been a week of thanksgiving for me. I've just been thanking the Lord. I thank the Lord that I have a roof over my head. I thank the Lord that I have hot water and I take a shower. I thank the Lord that I have food on the table. Do you understand? I thank the Lord for the squirrels that play in my yard, the birds that come in and eat the berries on the trees that we have. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for something new that came into my life, tamales. I had 2 tamales in my eggs this morning, 15 tamales last night. And I am so bloated and full. But now I'm hooked. I'm hooked on tamales. It's supernatural energy. And Jesse, he knows exactly where to get the best tamales and the best, whatever they call it, the cheek of the cow. Oh. Becky and I last night, I guess it comes in 1 pound, is that right? Yes, 1 pound of the cheek of the cow. We ate it all. I can't believe I ate like a pig. But I couldn't stop. It was so good. But Jesse knows where. All you have to do is pay him just a little bit, and he'll give it to Calvary. We can't put on hold following Jesus because of the pandemic. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, the light of life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, what a gift that has been given unto us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, not a light of the world. He said, I am the only source of illumination for every person on earth, every person that will be born. You know what's wonderful? Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you'll never walk in darkness. You know why? He'll never lead you in darkness. We have that light of life. Loved one, 2021, here's the word. It is the year for this church to relaunch. Say that word, relaunch. That means to resurrect. It means to restore. It means to restart. It means that we have been in a holding pattern since March 13th. That day is forever embedded in my heart. I'll never forget it. I spoke in March 6th at a men's conference at Calvary Chapel, Houston. And then immediately, just a few days later, I was in Oklahoma. And then I got a from the governor or whoever it was, everything is closed down. I couldn't believe it for the first time in our lives. We've been in a holding pattern. And you remember 2018, what a great year. You remember what the Lord told us? Remember from Malachi 3:10? He says, prove me now, test me now. You know, bring in the tithes and offerings. Remember that one? Come on. Do you remember what happened that year? Remember how I wouldn't teach it? I said, Lord, I can't teach that. They're going to think I'm just begging for money, and I've never begged for money ever in all of my time in my ministry. Lord, I can't do that. And remember how there I was on a Friday. I'm always at the office on a Friday. I had a plumbing problem, and I had to have a plumber because that water was going everywhere. And so there I am at home, and I'm all upset. Then I get a phone call. It was from a believer from another church. And I thought, oh, gosh, what do you want? He said, I got to come to your home. Remember that? And I said, why? I don't want to counsel you. You know, I'm just being honest. And he comes in, and I saw the Lord. I just prayed that morning. I said, I cannot preach that, Lord. Prove me now. And you know why I didn't understand it? I'll get back to that. Remind me. And remember, I had a knock on the door, and that man came in, and he started weeping before me. And he says, Bill, do you know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? I said, yes. He said, here. And he gave me that envelope, remember? And he said, open it. I said, no, I never. Oh, I said, I don't look who gives. He said, open it. And inside of it was a check for $217,000 for this church from another church, or a man from another church. And then the Lord said, see, prove me now. And then I understood that Malachi 3:10, what the theme is not tithes and offerings. The theme is the faithfulness of Almighty God. Do you understand? Prove me now. Put me to the test. And then we did, and look what God did. Amen? He was not only faithful then, he's faithful to us. He's faithful to every generation. And then 2019, oh, what a year that was. 2019, a whirlwind is coming. The harvest is ripe. Prepare. We were God's whirlwind to this city, remember? Oh, was the harvest right? Jesus brought the harvest right here to us. Did we prepare? We labored together for one solid year, what turned out to be the greatest outreach in our 28-year history. We provided candy cane Christmas for single mothers and single grandmothers raising their children's children. Amen. Remember that? And we had to raise $150,000 to get that done, to give them funds and also clothing and shoes for their children and all the work, how hard we worked. You remember that? You remember how we had it all set up outside in the lines, and after they had eaten and watched the plays and gone through, remember all the bags of, do y'all remember that? And how they would carry the bags out. What an incredible year. And listen, never had we been stronger. Never had we worked in a more united way. Never had we been closer than that day. People, then they would leave and they'd go through a tent called Free. Remember? The red tent. And they would, so many received Jesus Christ as Lord. And you know what's wonderful about all that? That $150,000, not one penny came out of the general account of Calvary Chapel. No, people were giving all over America. We even had radio stations that I'm on. Their general manager, they said, we want to be a part of that, Bill. And they would send in money. Listen to me. God worked in a mighty way. And it was a tangible way. And now here we are, we're sitting and thinking, well, I don't know, God can't do a thing, you know. What are we going to, no. And then what happened in 2020? Oh, remember, here's what we do in 2020. Remember that? That's where we left off. Is that right? That's where we left off. A tent called Free. We were putting tents all over this entire city. And we had begun to do that, and people were getting saved left and right. Why? They just walked up to a tent. What's free? Well, let me tell you. Do you see how easy that was? And people were getting saved every week. Every time we put tents up, they would come, and they were being saved. So what do we do now? Well, we relaunch, loved one. We go back to the last word that we have not obeyed. Does that make sense? We go back to the last word God gave us, to a tent called Free. Here was the word, Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch at the curtains of your dwellings. No, trust me, God says, let me stretch your faith. And that's what he's going to do this year. Do not spare or don't hold back. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. How will this happen? There it is right there. 2021, relaunch. You see the partners, you see the helpers, you see the ships in the back. That's going to be us, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And the first thing we have to do in 2021, before we can relaunch, we have to prepare to relaunch. Does that make sense? We have to prepare now, not 6 months from now. We start preparing right this minute to relaunch. That means our ministries need to start planning right this minute to get back up and to start running again. It's time to plan again the locations for a tent called Free and the people. You need to sign up to be a part of that. Well, Bill, the pandemic is raging. Well, you have a mask. Does that mask stop you from going to Dairy Queen? No, listen, I see people, you know, go in here and eat there, take your mask off and all these different places, but I can't come to church. That felt good. No, we're going to plan the best, the Lord willing, the best candy cane Christmas we have ever had. Amen. We're not going to lay down and let this thing walk all over us. So the first thing we're going to do is prepare, plan to relaunch beginning today. The second thing is the relaunch date will be forthcoming. Okay, maybe next month, maybe, but it's forthcoming. But until then, right now, everybody that's listening to me live, everybody that's listening on the radio, everyone that's part of the Calvary Chapel family, listen very carefully. Right now, you need to get in the boat. All hands on deck. It's time to report for duty. Those that are healthy and those that are able and those that are not fearful. It's time to come home. It's time to get back in this building because Satan doesn't want us to reconnect. He doesn't want us to recommit. He wants us separated and he wants us comfortable doing nothing but live streaming, not gathering together. Oh, no. He doesn't want us to relaunch. He doesn't want us to expand our territory. He doesn't want us to put the tents out. He wants us to just go home, stay home. And I'm tired of that. I'm ready to walk on water. Amen? That's what I'm ready for. Listen, so beginning next Sunday, first service, listen carefully, especially you guys at home, listen now. First service next Sunday, the barn, the cafe, the main lobby will serve as an overflow if the chapel is full. Let me say that again. If the chapel is full, here's the sequence. If the chapel is full, go to the cafe. If the cafe is full, go to the barn. If the barn is full, go to the main lobby. Amen? Did we get that? Okay. And it has to be in that sequence. The second thing is, in the first service, the nursery and the kids' church are not provided at the first service yet. But you have to wear your mask wherever you are as normal. Beginning next Sunday, second service, the main lobby, the cafe, and that's just those two areas, they will act as an overflow. You can watch the service there. We have just put in huge TV screens. You'll really like it. They will act as an overflow if the chapel is full. And parents at home, listen now, nursery and kids' church will be provided for the second service. We're in a brand new year, a brand new day. If you will relaunch, you will experience a new fire. We have to go to work. I'm a type A personality. I can't stand sitting around. I can't stand just, you know, not seeing you. I hate it. Man, it's every member needs to be a minister again. We need to be workers like in Nehemiah's time. Remember in Nehemiah 4:6 when they were building the wall and they built it up half its way. They did it in 42 days. Why? For the people had a mind to work. And they had to do it with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. We're in a battle too. Amen? Okay, we do it with a mask in one hand and the word of God in the other. Amen? Come on. Oh, listen, we need workers on the wall. That's you. Why is it that Satan, he never has a shortage of workers, but the church does? It's time to go to work. It's time in 2021 to relaunch. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 104:26. It says, there in the background, it says, there go the ships. Say that with me. There go the ships. And God's word's not talking about ships. He's talking about us. Amen? No, listen, you know, the ships go, they don't sit. John Shedd said, a ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. Listen, this church is a lifeboat. Did you know that? This church is a hospital. This church is an ark, if you will, to this city and to the world. And we have treasure in these earthen vessels, loved one. Maybe the pandemic has caused some of you, maybe some that are here, maybe some that are listening live, maybe this pandemic has caused you to drift toward the world and drift away from Jesus. It's time to get right. It's time to get right, right this minute. Maybe some of you, you are shipwrecked. Your marriage is shipwrecked. Your life is shipwrecked. It's time to get repaired. It's time to be relaunched. Amen. It's time to restore marriages and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time right now. Right now. There has to be a time when all of us stand up in the middle of this. This will be the hardest time the next 6-7 months. But it's time to stand up. It's time to fight. It's time, the violent take it by force, Jesus said. Amen. It's time for the church to come in agreement with God, heaven and earth in agreement. Amen. It's time that we don't walk in fear, but we walk in faith and we trust the promises of God. It's time to relaunch. And I'm ready. It's time to open up our ministries. It's time to people walking in the lobby again, eating food in the cafe. Do you understand? It's time to take back what belongs to us that God has given us. And that's what I, in my heart, intend to do if you'll come with me. And we relaunch. You know, a person, if you're here this morning, maybe you're all messed up, man. You know, a person can't, you can't erase your past. You can't erase words that are spoken. You can't erase your mistakes. But you can change your eternal destiny. Isn't that something? By coming to Christ. Did you know that every decision that you make, every decision that I make, every decision that anyone makes, costs? It costs. You eat too many tamales? It's going to cost you. Okay? But every decision has a price. Every decision. You know, if people that they, you know, it leads, the decision leads you someplace. It can either lead you away from God or to God. Isn't that amazing? Just a decision. Maybe you're listening live and maybe you're here. You don't know Jesus. Jesus is not your Lord. Or maybe you're a Jesus namer, but you're not a Jesus follower. As our heads are bowed this morning and our eyes are closed, maybe your marriage is messed up and you know you need to get it right. Maybe your walk is messed up. You know you need to get it right. It's time for you to relaunch your life. So as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if that's you, just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. Pray for me. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. I just want to relaunch. I want to get off the shore. I want to get in the boat with Jesus. If that's you, God bless you. That's right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. That's God bless you. I see that. Yes, God bless you. Amen. I want to be with our Lord now. He is our master. I want to launch out into the deep with him. Last call. Anyone? Yes, God bless you. That's right. Father, you see all these hands, and you see all those hands at their homes right now. The lifting of their hands, oh Father, is an act of faith, which you honor. Whatever they may need, whatever needs to be relaunched in their life, in their hearts, in their marriages, Lord, whatever it might be, whether right now, bring it to pass by your mercy, by your grace, by your goodness, by the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all sin. We believe it. We receive it. We relaunch Jesus into our hearts and lives all over again in 2021. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen and amen. Amen.